For many of you, he needs no introduction, but some of you might be new. George pastored a very successful church in Mount Vernon, Washington for several years. He is an author. He has traveled internationally, speaking, I don't know how many countries, but literally all over the world, taking the gospel. And it's just a wonderful, he's like a father to this church. I think he started coming in the late 1960s. Was I born? Yes, I was. I was about 10 years old. I'm just giving George a bad time there. And I just want to mention, while, because I might not have a chance. A lot of times there's ministry afterwards. But, you know, when God sends a man of God our way to make a spiritual deposit, I just feel like we ought to make a financial deposit in his life. So at the end of the service, if you feel led to do so, there's digital ways you can give. And many of you know about those. There's a couple offering boxes in the back. There's envelopes in the chair in front of you. Just mark guest speaker and put in there whatever you feel led to do. We just want to bless him financially. Let's just stand. I just feel like we need to honor Pastor George. Just stand and welcome him to Covenant and just open your heart. You know, the scripture says, before you clap, scripture says that if you receive a prophet, then you receive a prophet's reward. And I believe that George stands in the office of the fivefold ministry, the prophet, prophetic office there. Not just a gift of prophecy, but he's standing in that office. And when we receive that, there's going to be a deposit in your life, a deposit in this church. So, George, it's great to have you.
Yes, I can still walk upstairs. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a crowd. What a good-looking bunch of rejects. Glory to God. Rejected from the world that God took us in. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, I'm here now. What, huh? I'm curious about something, and it's just beyond the green door. There's something right behind that doorknob. And today I want to open that up and see what's there. It's been a mystery. I've gone by it. I look at it. I even hear voices in there. And today I want to open that door. I want to go in and look around, see what God's got for us. You know, we're kind of like the little boy in the circus tent. He hadn't paid a ticket. He's not in the tent, but he's got the flap open, and he's peeking in, and he sees an elephant. Now, he didn't see the clowns and the trapeze people, but he sees an elephant. So he goes home, and he says, I've been to the circus. And Mom says, what was there? He says, an elephant. Ooh. Is that all? Oh, yeah, that's all there is, an elephant. So the circus to him becomes an elephant. Everywhere he talks about the elephant he saw. You've come into Christ, and some of you are still peeking under the flap, and what you see is a ticket to heaven or escape from hell, or maybe both, hopefully. And maybe you see healing, or maybe you haven't had a revelation on any kind of insight into prophecy. Maybe you don't know there's deliverance from, you know, the enemy. Maybe all you know is that if Jesus came today, you'd make it in, you know. Well, that's a start. But you can't live there forever, can you? Because after a while, when you start doodling around and there's nothing to do, you get in trouble. You never want to let kids alone, you know. Because my mom said, don't ever let two boys get together because they can imagine things you just scare you. And idle Christians do that. Idle Christians find things and they get in trouble with the flesh or with discouragement, or they get in trouble with just junk. And yet, behind that door, called the mysteries of God, is a destiny that God put in you when you came from Him. You came out of His bosom into your mother's womb. And when you came into your mother's womb, an angel came with you, because everyone has an angel. Peter had one, so I get one too. And that angel then, according to Job 32, speaks into your ear every night when you sleep. What does he speak? He speaks Psalms 139:16, your book that God wrote about you. And God wrote a book about you. It's called destiny, or it's called giftings, or it's called desire. Now, the scripture says he would give us the desires of our heart. Well, us flesh babies, it's a car, a boat, and a new, 1950 Ford hot rod, red. Glory to God. I've got a 36 in my garage. My son made it for me. It's been chopped. Oh, Jesus, just thinking about it. If I can't get into the Spirit any other way, I go out in my shop and I put my hand on that red molded front fender, purple red, and I rub it, and instantly I'm in the Spirit. Laugh at me if you will. That's my ticket in. Why? Because there's a connection somehow between me and hot rods. Now, I was born in that age, right? I was saved before some of you were even on the earth, so I'm an old dude, you know. Been around a long time. And why am I still here? Because I've stopped peeking in the tent. I've gone into the tent. And in the kingdom of God, the gospel of God, the Christian movement, the born again, the saved, shake hands with the preacher, however the term is, it's the introduction to the mystery of Christ. Now, here's an interesting... Have I said hello yet? How nice it is to see you all. And when I come in here, I need to say hello to you, dear sister. Praise God. In the early 60s and 70s, she was worship leader, and I carried a cassette tape around with me when I traveled in my suitcase, and I'd pull it out and play her singing, leading worship, and it always got me into the Spirit of God. Amen. I honor you for that. Praise God. Now, I was on a roll. I interrupted myself. Have I said hello yet? Yes, hello. I'm George Watkins. How many have ever heard me before? How many haven't heard me before? All right, take the name of the person who has heard me, and you can ask questions later. They'll help you out. I started preaching at 15 as a teenager, and we, in the Pentecostal movement, they did that. They just booted you out the door and said, good luck. But he did teach us how to pray, and that was the key. And he said, if you're going to preach... My overseer, apostle, said, if you're going to preach, you've got to pray 2 hours a day. And we worked at it. That's a long time if you never hit anything, you know. I'll fish about 5 minutes. If I don't get a bite, I'm back at the cabin. Forget this stuff. So prayer then, and that entrance into the Spirit of God. So let me enjoy the moment. Just a moment here. Glory to God. I just want to collect some things. Come on with me now. Let's just let the Holy Spirit bring to our minds and into our understanding some things. You feel that? You feel that something's settling. It's almost like a mantle, a cloud, a mist, a pressure. Could be just a thought. God's settling on us now. Wow. This is other tongues. Some of you may have not been have heard it. If you have, then this is other tongues. Now here's the interpretation of it. Because this is what God speaks occasionally through prophecy and tongues and interpretation. Now here's what the Holy Spirit just prayed or spoke out of my spirit in that heavenly language. And the Lord is saying this: the drops of moisture, spiritual moisture, the dew, even the spring rain that you're feeling is just the beginning of a wind that's blowing into your life and into this house and into this region. There's something coming behind the dew, the mist, and just that first raindrop that you felt on your spiritual life. Maybe a hope, something ahead of me. There's got to be something more than I've got. That's the invite now. God's saying this through that interpretive word I just received. He's saying, there is something coming for you. Now here's what the Lord's instructions are. Pay attention to the small things. Turn into the voice or to the indications you hear and see and feel. Turn into what you think God is doing for you. And if you'll turn and pay attention to the small things, God will say something to you that you will change your life, or you'll get an idea, you'll get a thought. Thoughts are God's words, inaudible, but they sound loud sometimes. Sometimes He yells at us in our thoughts. Hey, wake up. I've got something for you. So this morning, whenever I get to the Bible, I'm going to bring out a couple thoughts on that. Amen. But I love you all and I'm glad to be here. Now let's open that little flap up. Let's open that door and we're going to step into the Spirit of God. We're going to step into a place in our minds. Now, what'd Paul say? He said, you were separated in your mind. So that means I can have a mind contrary. I can be thinking contrary to God. For instance, what do you think about the Father? Father God. Many Christians pray to Jesus only, not the movement, Jesus only movement, but they only pray to Jesus because they've got a relationship with Jesus. Okay, that's a good start. But what about the Father? You see, we've been taught over the Western theology that God's mad at us and He can't look at sin. And the only reason, you know, He was so angry at us that He had to kill Jesus to take His anger out on the cross. And if Jesus wasn't in front of us, He's still mad at us, but He's got to look through Jesus. He's got to look through the blood even to see us. Okay. That's good preaching, but weak theology. Because, first of all, the Scriptures tell us that before time started, God took the whole human race into His heart. Whoa. So in other words, before Adam fell, we were already in God. Before we fell, before the nature of mankind was introduced to sin, when Adam fell, we were already in God. So what do we do with that? So Jesus then is prophesied. Here he comes, prophet after prophet after prophet. Jesus comes, and the Bible says the Word became flesh in the book of John and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. So the Elohim, third member of the, or the, you know, the second member, Son, became Jesus in the flesh. That's what we call him, in the flesh. And he came, and what did he do? He did nothing but what the Father told him. So everything that he did is God-like and God nature.
Right.
Now some of you and I, and as people, have been taught that God's angry, but he's not, and is also separated from us because of sin. Sin has never separated us from God. Sin is separate. Let me say that again. Sin has never separated God from us. Sin has always separated us from God. Can I say that again? God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you. God sent his Son to redeem you. God said he loved the world. So God's not mad. God's not angry. God's in love with you all. Amen. So what happened then? I was blinded by sin. I was blinded by rebellion. And in my thinking, my mind, I did not have a revelation. I see the prophet with his servant in the Old Testament. And the prophet's on the lounge chair having soda. And the servant is out of his mind with fear, because all he can see is the enemy, and he knows he's going to die any minute. And the prophet said, "Enough of this, Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Now, what did Paul say about it? Paul said, "When I came and had that revelation of Jesus on the road to Damascus, God gave me the ministry of reconciliation." What is that? It's bringing people back to Christ. Now here it is. Salvation in simple form. Here's salvation. Salvation, what we call born again, is having our mind opened up, which opens up our receiving the Lord. Now Paul's on the road. He's a murderer and he is a thug. He is a terror to the Christian church. And he's on his way with papers in his hand to kill some more, to jail some more. And Jesus shows up on the road. He falls off the donkey. He goes blind. You know the story if you've read it. You know the first thing he said? Lord. First thing he said, Lord. No, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" But it was a submission. Amen. What happened? He said in this scripture that his mind, his eyes were opened. He understood. He saw. And that prophet prayed and said, "Open his eyes." And when the servant of that prophet had his eyes open, he saw the horses and chariots of God. You and I need our eyes open to see God's work in our life. Amen. Some of you are dealing with some bad guys, you know. Debt, divorce, sickness, rebellious children. What do? We need to have the eyes of the Lord. We need to have our eyes open. And how do we do it? There's a place in your spiritual life that you can see and hear. And when you do, then revelation, understanding comes. Hallelujah. You know why you need a prophet in your life? It's like the fellow on the train, you know. He's gone to sleep and his town's coming. And the conductor comes along and shakes him and wakes him up. That's a prophet. That's why you need a prophetic word, either from a dream, a physical prophet, your wife, somebody needs to speak into the situation and say, wake up. That's what prophecy in its simple form is. It's either a warning sign or a directional change or an encouragement that you are on the right road, so keep going. So that's the door I want to open this morning.
Amen.
Now, first of all, the clock doesn't start for me until I go to the pulpit, so that's why I'm down here. I just want to settle the fact that just for some of you that are fussing with me now, and I am better than you. I just want you to know that. And there is not a chance in heaven that you'll ever be like me. So don't be condemning yourself. I just want you to settle in the fact that you are who you are, and it's a lousy life, but just stay there, okay? Have you got the point? Have you got the point? We are all one in Christ, and we are all family, and there is no difference. Every one of us have the ability and the call to have that relation, that personal face-to-face with Jesus. Amen. If I told you, I could guarantee that if you would, give you something to do, that an angel would show up in physical form, you could shake their hand and they'd give you a cookie. If I could say that, there's something in you that would like to do that. That would be a real deal. Well, it ain't going to happen because I'm on a diet and we don't need cookies, but there is a desire in your heart for more than we've got. And we keep shoving it aside. Keep shoving it aside. Not out of rejection of God. It's just we're busy and let the preacher do it. And I'm not called to the fivefold. But what about the power and the revelation of who you are in Christ? How about understanding that the two of you have something that's just... Am I being too mysterious today? I don't want to be kind of weird, but just stay with me for a minute. The two of you have something. Now, what happens when two come together? It's synergism. And that's why marriage is so important. You are married, right? Okay, we got that down. I don't want to get in trouble here. Synergism. So something happens to your spirits. When your spirit, two spirits come together, you become one, and it's a different spirit in a sense because it's merged together now. And now something has been destined for you from God. I'm prophesying if you haven't caught it yet. Something has been destined for you too that you haven't seen yet. Now you feel something, you desire something, and we always relate it to finances or a house or a better job, but it's a desire in your heart. She has it too, but in your heart to step up into that new realm. And we relate to promotion or a higher paycheck. That's good. That's okay. That's life. But it's the desire. Now, I would say that there is a creative genius in you that has, there's an invention that's been rumbling around in your spirit and in your thinking. And as my friend Craig Schlesinger, if you ever see him, tell him I love him. He said, you've been noodling it around in your brain or your spirit. So I'm releasing that invention. I'm releasing that creative skill. I'm telling you, within the next 6 months, something's going to fall in your lap or on your craft table, wherever it is, and God's going to give you a doorway into that realm you've been asking for, that promotion or that lift up into that new standard. Now, you get that? You receive it?
I do.
Good. I'm going to check in on you. Glory to God. Okay, now, you see, the prophetic word then, here's how prophecy works for me. I get a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge then can give me a picture or a thought, but most often in me it's a picture. And then the picture, then I take the word of knowledge, then I say the word of wisdom. Now prophecy is a combination of three things. Often for me, and it's a word of wisdom. Now what does that picture mean, Lord? I don't always ask it now because it just flows together. But that's the mechanics of how I step in or hear the voice of the Lord. And then prophecy is right behind that. So what happens then when I get a picture, then I ask what that picture means, a green tree, a running brook, a flower, whatever it is, could be a number of things. And then the word of wisdom says that to him or her means new days or fresh days or, you get the point. Then prophecy comes. Now I prophesied to them, and when that happened, something shifted in the anointing to where it penetrated into their spirits like a branding iron on a cattle. The cattle, or the livestock, is there's a brand that happened in their spirits, and that brand of the prophetic word will begin to work on them. It'll irritate them, but it'll also help them in direction. When I say irritate, I mean God stirs that thing, and God stirs it until we begin to obey the prophetic word. Amen. That's why prophecy is such a wonderful part of our flow, our understanding. Amen. Okay, how are we doing? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, so number one, what's our attitude toward the Father? Number two, some of us have been taught that God sent Jesus to the cross because he was mad at you, and so he didn't want to beat you up, so he killed Jesus. Not true. That's called penal substitution or something like that. Penal. Okay, now, if that's not true, then why did Jesus go to the cross? And what's the blood, what's the cross and the resurrection all about? It sealed the deal that God made before time when he took us into his heart. And when Jesus sealed the deal through his sacrifice, he gave us righteousness. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something, dear. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You, because God gave it to you as a gift. You know how we get saved? We don't get saved by faith. We get saved by grace. Now, faith is the prism we go see. Faith is, that's how we enter, but it's by grace. So salvation is given to us. Now, how does it work? Back at the jail, I'm in the jail, and Jesus at the cross took away the gate, took away the bars. So when I come to someone like you, dear, and if you're in jail, I tell you, go home, you're free. Now I could come and paint your cell and give you a better picture, put pictures on a wall and leave you there. But you see, Jesus took the gate off. And every human that's walking on this earth has the gate off. There is nothing stopping them except the gospel wipes the mind from lies. The lie is that we were separated and God hates us and he doesn't have anything to do with us. And so people that you know in your neighborhood are going around blinded by the lie that God hates them or they have no chance. Now, Paul called it the ministry of reconciliation. That means, hey, the gate's gone. Go home, man. You're free. Now, that's the simple gospel with no denominational hang-ups such as you got to do 4 or 5 jumping jacks every morning. I heard something today I thought was so cool. story of the thief on the cross. I think maybe you heard it. Thief on the cross goes to heaven. St. Peter meets him at the gate. Says, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm on in. You know, I'm coming to heaven. Well, have you, you know, gone through the 14 confessions? Have you been baptized 7 times upside down? You know, you could pick anything. He said, no. He said, well, you can't come in. Why are you here? He says, because the guy on the middle cross said I could come. Yeah. Now, Jesus said it simply. If you believe in me, you've got eternal life. That's a done deal. So you show up at the church, ragged, stinky, and just full of all kinds of residue from the former life. Now what do? We begin to wash you with the water of the Word. We begin to dip you into the fountain of life that brings refreshing to the soul and the body. The spirit is taken care of. We got that one down to pat. Jesus said that if you believe in me, you got it. But so many are going to heaven in a basket case. And so the body of Christ is that center of recovery. And you come in and the pastors and the lovers in the house begin to wash your minds and your souls and teach you how to brush your teeth spiritually and teach you how to stand as a man and a woman of God and teach you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And Romans tells us he'll never forget us and he'll never stop loving us. And my shoulders go back and my feet are solid on the ground because I know I'm in and I ain't going nowhere and nobody can kick me out because I'm a Christian. I'm a born again believer. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Bless God. And stand aside because here I am. Why? Because somebody polished this old boy up and taught him that he was righteous in God. And God loved him no matter what happened. And if he wanted to goof around, God still loved him. But God would bring him back. And the angels of the Lord were there to push their foot in his back and say, get in where you belong. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in the tent today. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Now, don't you talk to yourself that way anymore. Don't you talk to yourself. You've been talking to yourself and you begin to echo what people have told you about you. And you begin to repeat, by memory, things that have happened. And I command you in the name of the Lord to keep your mouth closed like the Israelites. They couldn't talk. Now why? Because you create your own world by your confession. And what you say comes to pass. A good day, bad day. They like me, they don't like me. I will make it, I won't make it. You listening to me? Nobody's here right now. They're all out somewhere. Just you and me. Now, I'm releasing the Holy Spirit in a fresh way over you. And I'm releasing a conscious awareness you're not alone, both by the Holy Spirit and by the angels of the Lord that walk with you and help you through the day. Okay? Now, what I want you to do next time you hit a brick wall, look around. You're not alone. And you're going through. Is that okay? I don't want to be scary. I'm not trying to, spook you out. One of the false ideas about prophets is they can see in, into your bad stuff. If that was true, I'd probably be down at the casino, I suppose, trying to make some money if I could see everything. That's why God doesn't give it to us, because we have fleshy desires sometimes. Oh, I'm going to go get rich today because I can see. No, that's not the prophet. The prophet just hears something and speaks it. And I bless you, my dear. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless your going in and your coming out. I bless your future. I speak to you that there's things that God has in store for you. So be patient. Be patient as God develops your journey. Be patient as God gives you each step. Now, don't be in a hurry to make decisions right now, because you're at a crucial point in your journey, your age, your education, whatever you're at. Don't just jump into something quickly. Take time for good counsel, but take time to feel good about what God's doing in your life, okay? Is that all right? It makes sense. Out of that, it'll play it back. It's recorded. Amen. Okay, now, I'm officially going to the pulpit here for a minute. Amen. I want to read a scripture, and that makes it official sermon, if I can get a scripture in. And then I want to give you two verses beyond that. Second Corinthians 5:19. This is a favorite of mine right now. I'm kind of living in some of these things. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Then now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now that's the ministry you have. That's the ministry every one of you have, is pleading or inviting or encouraging people to come to God. Why? Because God has given them reconciliation, and they have the freedom now, because of the cross and resurrection, to come to God. Sin is not the problem. The sin was taken care of on the cross. Sin can bind us because we're blind to the cross, and we stay in the activity of what sins produce. And God hates sins. He's angry at sins. He's not angry at sinners. He loves you, because my favorite verse, probably from the first time I ever memorized, "For God so loved the world." Amen. Some of you quote that, "God so loved the charismatics. God so loved the Catholics. God so loved the Pentecostals." No, God loved the world. I release over this house and those in the sound of my voice this morning a quickening in their spirits to invite people into that freedom of reconciliation. The simple act of saying, "Look, hey, God's not mad at you. You've already been redeemed by him through the cross. But now what you do is do what Jesus said. Just believe on me and do what Paul said. Lord. Lord." I've prayed with thousands of people over the decades that I've been happily ministering the gospel. And often people will say, "Well, what do I say? I don't know how to pray." And so we've made up prayers. We call them sinner's prayers. And it's got a little structure to it, and confessing Christ and repenting and all that. But I think that's kind of like it gets in the way between, "Yes, Lord, I receive you." Doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to teach him anything beside the fact that Jesus loves them and gave himself, and they are free now to come to Christ. And I tell you, some of you are going to have your neighbor or your relation, your cousin or whatever it is. If you'll present that to them this week, you will be amazed at how low the threshold is for the human race to step over into God's love. Amen. There's a false pretense or a false word that's gone out, and it went out to Eve. Are you sure, God? Are you sure, God? Luke 15 and Matthew 25 are kind of a setting for that attitude. Now, the prodigal son had a bad thought. He thought his dad, he said, give me the inheritance. Now, you know what he was saying? He said, old man, just go ahead and die. I want your money. That was his heart. And he ends up in the pig pen. And in the pig pen, eating the slop of the pigs, the Bible says he came to himself. What happened? His mind was opened up, and this is what he said. My father has all I need, and I'm going home. That's the simple act of salvation that we call. Suddenly, someone wakes up. It could be in a Pentecostal hot meeting, or it could be a street corner you're witnessing, or in the front seat of your hot rod when you're talking to somebody. And suddenly they say, wow, I didn't know that. Whoa, I've always wanted Jesus, but I didn't think he would accept me. You see. You got that? Huh? I want you to be sure and get that. Now, somebody this week in your life is going to be introduced to Jesus. You've got a lot of people that you interact with through the week. And somebody's going to ask you some questions about what I'm saying to you today as a congregation. And you're going to remember this. All you got to do is say yes to Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow. What's your name?
Bobby.
Bobby, I like that name. I bless you, Bobby.
Thank you.
Amen. So the prodigal son then had a mind change. Suddenly, oh, what am I doing here? My dad's rich. He's got food. I'm going home. Look at Matthew 25, that third guy that buried his talent in the dirt. And this is what he said about the master. I knew you were mean and tough. Nobody likes you, so I was afraid. That was an attitude, a mindset that his master. And so he hid his talent. And I'm calling some of you this morning that have an attitude toward God that he will never produce, he will never help you, you can never excel, you can never be. I tell you, I break that in Jesus' name. I break that lie in Jesus' name. I break the lie that you are second class or you're not going to ever match what, your older brother had. And here you are, the third child. Whatever that curse is, I break it off of you now. And I tell you, you are first in line. There's no line ahead of you. And God says, I love you and I have a deal for you. And it's going to be a recovery. It's going to be something so supernatural that you'll say, wow, how did that happen in my life? That was prophecy. Take it in now. Take it. Grab a hold of it and say to yourself or to whoever you want, yes, I receive it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. All right. Prodigal son came home. I have a theory. I'm trying to add it in the Bible. You might find it in there. Knowing God, I know the Father, and he's no dummy. And this fella, this father in Luke 15, he's no dummy. He's got a big farm or whatever it is, big ranch. And so his son's going to take off with his money. He's not going to let that puppy out of his sight. So he tells his servant, follow that boy. And that father knew where he was all the time. The servant was in the bushes watching and reporting back to daddy. Now that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. You can go to the pig pen. The Holy Ghost knows where you are, and the Father's waiting for you to come home. You can go into fear, and the Holy Ghost knows and sends a message. And so God fires up the angels to keep you out of death so you can get back home. I tell you, some of you have come close to death and you wonder how you're here today. It's because the angels of the Lord stopped that thing so you could hear and know your destiny. And your destiny is, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." That's the simple, condensed idea God has for us. "Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health." Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, am I happy today? Oh, yes, glory to God. Oh, what was that for? A little steam out of the kettle. I didn't want to blow the top, you know. Some of you stoic people stuff it so much, it's no wonder you're miserable. Every once in a while, you just need to do a little shuffle, a two-step, and, you know, kind of get something out of yourself. No, I do that. We do that in the spirit, and that funny expression of noise and laughter is just my ability to stay tuned into health spiritually. And every once in a while, it just comes out. Amen. Glory to God.